welcome to the program Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit with Father Kanice Cartmell. And now, Father Cartmell.
Hello again, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been speaking about the Holy Spirit and the seven gifts. We've spoken about the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of understanding, the gift of courage, the gift of counsel. And while all these gifts are very, very intimate in our daily lives, there's another gift that often is misunderstood, and that is the gift of piety. That's a word that isn't used too often in ordinary conversation. Because what is piety? When we hear the word, what do you think of? What kind of a mental image do you get when you hear piety? I know the image that I have gotten for years was someone who looked holy, eyes downcast, like some beautiful painting of some medieval master artist. Piety isn't something that looks good. Piety really is one of the strongest of all the gifts. It's how we deal with the precious things in our lives. One of the most precious things in my life, the thing that I have the greatest love for, is my mother. And it might sound strange that I mention my mother in the context of the gift of piety. How to be proud of the precious things in one's life. I'm taking for granted that you and I are proud of our God. And we're proud of His Word. And we're proud of His Son, and we're proud of the Holy Spirit. Now I'd like to tell you some of the other things that I'm proud of, and I would call this from the feeling of filial piety. I'm proud of my mother, because who was my mother? I'm proud of her. My mother had one child and she lost it. She had a second child was premature and she was told not to have any more. We lived up in Delaware County, farm country in New York State, my early years. But she happened to say, well, excuse me, but I don't believe in anything else, but I have to have another child. So she conceived again. But this child was late. And after 2 weeks overdue, the doctor said either the baby's dead or it's twins. Ha ha! I was born 11 pounds 6. I really don't think my mother's ever really forgiven or forgotten that I was so big. But you know why I love my mother for that? She was willing to go into the valley of death for her boy. She was willing to give birth to a child and be willing to die for that child. And then what else did my mother do for me? Well, she gave me a lot of advice, a lot of strength. And of all the things I think she gave me was to be proud of the right things. She wanted me to be proud of who I was, proud of the color of my hair, proud of my shape, my size. I always worried that I was so small. I'm not small anymore, but she always used to say, Francis, good goods comes in small packages. She always was bolstering my confidence. I used to stutter horribly. And she would have me practice Sunday after Sunday after school, and I would have to put pebbles or marbles in my mouth so that eventually I could stop stuttering. She kept giving me confidence. In fact, in my eighth grade graduation book, she wrote, your most ardent admirer and your sincerest critic. But she gave me strength to continue in everything I've been involved in my life, in every particular aspect my mother was there. And then my mother gave us food. She wanted her boys to be strong. She wanted the bones to be strong, and so we ate very simple food. In fact, we used to go to a one-room schoolhouse up in Delaware County in a little district called Tacoma near Trout Creek. You haven't heard of those places because they are places you pass through. One-room schoolhouse. Five kids, my brother, myself, Gina, Joanne Butts, and Donald Stringer. And one day, Rother Wakeman asked my brother to improvise a poem. And my brother got up, and he stood there, and he said, "Once upon a time, there were two little boys who lived on a farm. And every day, they had oatmeal, 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 cornmeal, 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 rice, rice, rice." My mother gave us simple food, but it was nourishing food. It wasn't the fanciest food, but it was the food that she knew would give a strong body to her boys. Not fancy, very simple, but the right kind of food. And then as we were growing up, my mother, being the most severe critic, corrected us every step of the way. I think came in for more criticism than most. I remember after we had moved down to the city, I once had taken a quarter out of my mother's purse, and I was walking down the stairs. And she called and says, "Francis." And I said, "I'm going out." And she says, "Come here, Francis." I said, "I'm going out." She says, "Come here." Well, I got nervous. Now I took the quarter, put it under my foot. I'm standing halfway down the stairways, and she says, "Come up here." I said, "I have to go out. Come up here." And I remember taking my foot off that quarter, and it shone like a full moon. How my mother knew that I had taken a quarter, I haven't the slightest idea. But this lady watched me, corrected me, watched my grammar, watched my elocution. She watched every move I made. In fact, we used to give her a nickname, Sergeant Mom. We wanted her to be like other mothers, a little bit more permissive, but not Mrs. Edwina Barnstead Cartmell. She corrected us constantly, and even after I was ordained a priest. Always critical. She gave support, but always critical. I was preaching once in St. Patrick's Cathedral, and I said, "Mother, you're going to come up. This is a great occasion for your boy." She says, "I don't know yet." Well, I start the first sermon, and there's my mother over on the left-hand side at the first sermon. The second sermon that day, she's out in the back walking back and forth in St. Patrick's Cathedral. After that, she came up and said, "You were all right. The acoustics weren't too good over there. Your gestures were all right." She was giving a critique of me after I'd been a priest for 30 years. She watched every move I made and criticized it. And if there was anything good, she would affirm it. She would, you know, give me the encouragement I needed. But she was always willing to criticize. And then what else did my mother do as I was growing up? She was always there when I was sick. And mothers around the world, and all of you out there who are mothers, know this. You hear your child cry even if they don't make a sound. You know when your child is not well, mentally, physically, spiritually. You know it. Your child is like an open book to you. And so I was an open book to my mother. And when I was sick and when I was hurting inside, the one person I know I could count on for support was my mother. She was there in the old days with the hot water bottle. And there's a medicine they don't give out today anymore, which I'd love other kids to suffer with today. Cod liver oil and castor oil. And I'm going to start a campaign that all the other kids need that. You don't need vitamins, you need castor oil. We hated it. We used to hide the bottle. Mother found it and said, "You need this. It's good for you. There's iron." Oh, ha, ha. But my mother wanted her boys to be healthy. She was always there. And then, when the time came for me to make a decision in my life, and I told her I wanted to go to the seminary, she said, "All right." She didn't expect me to go through. In fact, the second week I was in the seminary, she came up to take me home. She was convinced that I was just trying something off the top of my head. But after 3 years, she began to realize maybe he's sincere about this. And I came home for a Christmas vacation, and my mother had bought a tuxedo. Not rented it. Bought a tuxedo. The satin lapels, the satin along the side, the ruffle shirt, the old beautiful tie, the boyle shirt, all the ruffles were there, patent leather shoes. And she had me invited to a New Year's party, where all the girls that I had known in grammar school would be, where they would be at. So I went to the party, had a great time. I found out one thing. At a Christmas party, there's only one place to stand. Don't go running around. Stand under the mistletoe. Everybody who passes you will give you some action. So I stood there in this beautiful monkey suit, passing sandwiches here, this way here, and getting kisses both ways. After that, I went to a mass at St. Francis Church at 2 o'clock, took the suit off, never wore it again. But looking back, I wondered why my mother did that. My mother wanted her boy to be sure that he knew what he was up to. That you can go to the seminary and not know that these lovely creatures called women exist. And she wanted me to know the girls that I had known in grammar school. She wanted me to be aware that I had a choice. And I look back on that thing that my mother did, buying that suit and giving me the chance to know how to make a choice, as one of the nicest, gentlest things she ever did. And all during the rest of my time in the seminary, she kept telling me, Francis, never be ashamed to come home. Anytime you want to come home, I have a bed waiting for you. I was ordained a priest September 6, 1952. I dropped my after-ordination ceremony, dropped my mother off of the apartment, went over to the church to arrange for the first mass, came back to see my mother, and she said, Francis, I sold your bed. You no longer belong to me. You belong to God and the church. What did my mother do? All her life, she watched and loved and was willing to suffer for her boy. She corrected her boy. She guided her boy in everything. Now, why do I tell you about this in this gift of piety? Because I'm very proud of this woman. I've already told you how proud I am of my father. But because my mother was a widow, I'm proud of her. And that's my way of expressing piety. I can say to God, I love you. I can say to perfect strangers, I love you. But unless I say to everyone I know, I love my mother, my piety is empty. It's like a beautiful shell that's just decorated on the outside. I love my mother. When we take the break, I'm going to explain why I use the example of my mother as a way of telling you something else I'm very proud of, with this virtue of piety. So, please, think of your own mother, think of your own parents, and how much you owe them as we take this break for the Eternal Word Network. I don't think most of us think of piety as something as being filial piety, but that's my definition of it, for the simple reason that of the seven gifts, this is the one gift that's not mentioned in the book of Isaiah. Before the break, I was talking about how much my mother meant to me and how proud I am of her. Well, there's another mother that I'm very proud of. And you know, in this modern day and age, when we, after Vatican II especially, we've talked about the people of God, the mystical body of Christ, etc., etc. There's an old phrase that I still think should be brought in. It's called Holy Mother Church. And I love my church. I am proud of my church. And my church is a mother. Because what did my church give me? Gave me rebirth in the sacrament of baptism. I was born again. My mother gave me physical birth, and the church gave me rebirth. My mother was willing to go into the valley of death. Christ did go into the valley of death, and he died for me so that I might live again. in the sacrament of baptism. My mother constantly gave us strength, encouragement. What does my mother, the church, give me? The sacrament of confirmation. The sacrament that comes with the seven gifts of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, courage, piety, counsel, fear of the Lord. My mother, the church, is there to give me what I need so that I will be the strong young man, the strong witness that my human mother needed and that my mother, the church, needs to be a witness to the world of who I am and where I come from. And then Holy Mother Church gave me food. Now, the food my mother, the church, gives me isn't fancy. It's not served on a big banquet table. It's just a little bit of bread and it's a little bit of wine that has been transformed into the body and blood of Christ. And says, take and eat. It doesn't look like much, just like the rice and the oatmeal that my mother gave us on the farm. Didn't look like much. But because it's a gift of love, it's a gift of strength. It's a gift of great nourishment for mind, body, and soul. And just as my human mother constantly corrected me and was my most severest critic, so my mother, the church, constantly is harping on me to get rid of my faults and my failings and my sins, not because my mother, the church, doesn't love me or my mother didn't correct me because she didn't love me. It's precisely because both mothers love me that they want me not just to be a good boy, but to be the best boy. My mother wanted her boy to be the best speaker. She wanted her boy to be the best dancer. She wanted somebody to be proud of. So does my mother, the church, want me to be someone to be proud of. And we call that gift the sacrament of reconciliation. And just as my human mother was concerned about my physical sicknesses and my physical health, so my divine mother is concerned about the same. And so whenever I'm sick, as the Bible says, is there anyone sick among you? Let them call in the presbyters or the priests of the church and the elders and let them pray over them. And the prayer of the faithful will heal them. And their sins will be forgiven. You've got five steps both mothers took. Birth, rebirth. Strength, confirmation. Food, Eucharist. Correction for improvement. Sacrament of reconciliation for the same thing. Growth. The sacraments of the anointing of the sick for the sick in soul. My mother with the hot water bottle and the castor oil for the sick in body. And as my mother was concerned about what my choice in life would be, so my mother, the church, is concerned. And that's why it took 13 years for me to study to become a priest. But all along the line, I remember the church telling me, look, you can leave. And she constantly brought to my mind the beauty of the sacrament of marriage. And so when I finally became a priest, I did not give up anything. Just like you who are married. If I ask you, why did you marry this woman and not this one? You'll say, well, I fell in love with her. You don't go up to the girl you want to marry or the girl you married and say, look, honey, I gave up Mary Jane, I gave up Margaret, and I gave up Rose. Would you marry me? You don't do that. You go up to this girl called Bernadette or whatever and say, would you marry me? I love you. And so I made that choice. And my church gave me the opportunity to make the choice, not of giving up anyone, but of saying, God, I love you and you alone. Now, there's an aspect of this comparison that has to be brought out. My human mother was not perfect. She was a human mother. And the way I explain the imperfections of the human person is this way. When my mother was getting old and I came back from the islands, maybe she didn't comb her hair and the right way. And maybe there were wisps of gray hair going down across the forehead. And I'd walk along the street where my mother lived, and I'd see her and I'd say, Mom, can I fix your hair? Or maybe the hat was on crooked. And I'd say, can I straighten it for you? Or maybe sometimes because she was an older woman, maybe sometimes the slip would be showing. And maybe I was a little bit afraid that anyone who would look at this woman who was my mother, had done so much for me, they wouldn't know that. They would say, look at that old lady. She doesn't know how to dress. Her slip is showing. Or maybe the bra strap would be showing. And so I'd straighten my mother's dress. And I'd stop where, sort of block an area so my mother could fix the slip. I'd put her hair back and I'd straighten the hat. My mother was human. And I use those examples as a way of explaining her imperfections. Sometimes, her slip was showing. Well, my mother, the church, is also made up of human beings. We call the church the body of Christ. But this church is made up of human beings. Men and women who make mistakes. From the beginning up until now, sometimes the church's hat is on crooked. And sometimes the church's hair is out of place. And sometimes the church's slip is showing. But because I love my human mother, Edwina, and because I love my mother, the church, I don't want you just to look at the slip that's showing. I don't want you to just to look at the hat that's out of place. I want you to look at and to see what I know. I want you to love my mother as the most beautiful woman that ever lived. When I saw my mother, it wasn't the slip that was showing. When I saw my mother, it was the woman who gave me birth and strength and food and advice. It was the mother who, when she died, as I walked out of the hospital room an hour before she died, she said, Francis, I'm the boss. And I saluted my mother on September 27th, 1977, and I said, yes, mother, you're the boss. A beautiful lady, not an old woman. A beautiful woman. My mother, the church, is a beautiful woman. The hat is out of place at times. The hair is crooked. The slip is showing. But that's not the church. That's the humanity. And I can accept the humanity of my mother and remember her divinity. I can accept the humanity of my church with the slip showing, but I recognize and I love her divinity. And that's what I'm proud of. And that's all I ask you, using this gift of piety. I ask you to be proud of the right things in your life. Never apologize for who you are. Never apologize for where you were born, how you were born. Never apologize for your faith. Be proud of it. Don't wear it like you're like a heart on a sleeve. But wear it as a badge of honor. That's what the gift of piety is all about. To be proud. Not just of God, we take that for granted. Not just of God the Son, not just of God the Holy Spirit. But be proud of who you are. What state you were born in. The city you were born in. How you ate. Don't never apologize. That's what I'm really saying. So the gift of piety for me is, dear God, help me never to apologize for the beautiful people in my life and the beautiful things in my life. We've gone through 6 of the 7 gifts. We've got a little bit more to talk about the gift of piety at a later date and a later time. But what I want you to remember is this. Why am I asking you to use this gift of piety to be proud of the right things? I'll tell you why. I want to reproduce my life in others. And I would hope that that's the way you would feel. What my mother and father reproduced in me, I would love to reproduce that in others. Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. I would love to pass on the spirit of love, of the faith that my mother gave me. I'd love to pass on the spirit of humor that my mother gave me. I'd love to pass on the spirit of prayer that my mother gave me. I'd love to pass on all the beautiful qualities that both mothers have given me and pass it on so that when people call me father, it won't be just a title. Holy Spirit, help me to use your seven gifts, but help me to appreciate more than ever before this gift of piety. And my prayer for all of you is this. I pray for your mothers and your fathers. I pray for your ancestors. I pray for you that you will always be proud of the right things. And I ask a favor. Would you pray for me that I'll always be proud of the right things and the right people, and that I'll never apologize for all the gifts that have been given me by God, my divine parents, and by my human parents. Hallelujah.